Okay, so my name is Carrie Lowry. I'm with the Miotech Corporation, and I'm going to be presenting research that I've been fortunate enough to conduct with the University of Illinois at Chicago with Jamie under Bridging the Gap, also a study that's been funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. So the purpose of this presentation is to describe the formal federal and state policy efforts to reduce childhood obesity by encouraging students to walk or bicycle to school. Also to present preliminary findings of a pilot study of safe routes to school policies that are effective as of January 1st, 2007. And also to show you the scope and the breadth and variation in state approaches to addressing this issue. Before we get started, this is the obligatory disclosure slide. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, so just a roadmap of what we're going to cover. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background of the Safe Routes to School issue. We're going to go into the federal law, safety lieu, as I like to call it, our data sources and methods. Then we'll go into our findings and conclusions and possible next steps for this research. So research has found that there is a correlation between rising obesity rates and a decline in physical activity. One of these facets of the decline in physical activity is a decline in the prevalence of walking and bicycling to school. In 1969, 50% of students walked or bicycled to school, and in 2001, it was found that fewer than 15% of students walked or bicycled to school. This decline is possibly associated with many factors, including school construction. It's more likely that schools are going to be located on less expensive locations that are further away from metropolitan centers. Also, parental fear of children's safety, both because of safety walking to school, because of traffic, and also because of concern about predators and social trust. And also a lack of adequate sidewalks, bicycle routes, and pedestrian safety controls near schools. This is just an illustration of the behaviors or conditions that perpetuate this cycle. So parents are afraid of unsafe conditions for their children to walk to school, so they're more likely to drive their children to school, creating more traffic congestion and poorer air quality, which in turn reduces safety for children to walk or bicycle to school, which causes parents to be fearful, and therein lies the cycle. So one important way for altering this cycle is policy and the ability of policy to intervene at various steps in this cycle to interrupt it. So on the federal level, in 2005, Congress recognized the problem, and through the Safe, Accountable, Flexible, Efficient Transportation Equity Act, a legacy for users, or Safety LU, or Safety LU, Congress approved $612 million through 2009 for a Safe Routes to School program as part of the federal transportation bill. It was approved in July of 2005 and signed by President Bush in August of 2005. It provided funding to the departments of transportation in any state that wanted to, using a formula based on school enrollment. So each state was to receive at least $1 million per fiscal year to implement a Safe Routes to School program. And state departments of transportation were also authorized to make grants to state, local, or regional agencies, including nonprofits. And the law specifically addresses primary and secondary schools, and the law defines that as grades K through 8. The law also defines two types of eligible projects. The first is infrastructure, and the second is non-infrastructure. Infrastructure activities are those that involve planning or design or construction to improve the ability of students to safely walk or bicycle to school. And these are just some examples. Traffic calming. This is the picture here is a traffic circle near school designed to slow traffic down around schools. Street crossings, on and off street bicycle facilities, and the like. The federal law also authorizes non-infrastructure projects, which are things like public awareness campaigns to teach kids and the public about safe pedestrian practices and safety in bicycling. trainings, volunteer programs, and training managers of Safe First to School programs. All of those are considered infrastructure, non-infrastructure activities, rather. And the federal law specifically says that 10 to 30% of funds allocated to the state per fiscal year have to be used for non-infrastructure projects, not more than 30%. So there's the 70 to 90% therefore have to be infrastructure projects. So there is a preference in the federal law for infrastructure activities. According to the law, the purposes of the federal program are to enable and encourage children, including those with disabilities, to walk and bicycle to school, to make bicycling and walking to school safer and more appealing as a transportation alternative, and facilitating the planning, development, and implementation of projects that will improve safety and reduce traffic, fuel consumption, and air pollution in the vicinity of schools. And the federal law uses this terminology, in the vicinity of schools, and defines that as the area that's reasonably to be expected that a student would walk or bicycle to school, approximately 2 miles. It's also important to note that Delaware and Texas actually implemented state safe routes to school programs, or laws rather, before the enactment of the federal law. We just thought that was interesting and worth pointing out. So our data sources and our methods, we used LexisNexis to conduct a search for state statutes and administrative regulations that were effective as of January 1st, 2007. We also employed a consultant, Diane Lambert, who's with the National Center for Safe Routes to School and has done a lot of work in the area of safe routes, just to make sure that our classification scheme was on target, that we were addressing all of the nuances of safe routes to school laws that should be addressed. We developed a qualitative classification instrument based on the laws themselves. We conducted the search, we looked at the laws, and based on what we found in those laws, we developed a classification scheme, and we also used Diane's advice as far as things that we didn't see that we should be seeing, or things that we just didn't think to highlight, but she said were very important. And then we went and coded the policies for these relevant elements, and we employed a double coding QA process, which just means the coders coded it, then we switch and code it again, and we meet every time there's a discrepancy, so there's a whole lot of meeting going on. So these are the types of policies that we analyzed. First, we looked at states that had formal safe routes to school programs, or laws that established or set criteria for state safe routes to school programs. In order to be considered a state safe routes to school program law, it had to fulfill these three qualifications. It had to use the term safe routes to school, it had to use federal funds under the Safety Lou law, and it had to address infrastructure and non-infrastructure projects. It didn't have to use those terms, but it at least had to address them somehow in the law. And then we also looked at state laws that impact safe routes to school but were not a formal program. So these were provisions that impact student safety walking or bicycling to school. The variables that we looked at were adherence to federal law. So again, those three qualifications that I just talked about. You had to use the term safe routes to school, use federal funds, and address infrastructure, thank you, and non-infrastructure. We also looked at whether the law required a certain activity or just encouraged the activity, and whether there were specific application and vetting criteria for the projects that were applying for funding. These are just examples of the application and vetting criteria, and I won't read them to you in the interest of time. There are handouts in the back, I should note, if you want to take a copy of the slides with you. Some more variables that we looked at. The administrative body that was outlined in the law, additional state funding and funding caps provided for in the law, whether the law required evaluation of the Safe Routes to School program, and for the non-program state laws that I mentioned, we looked at what is commonly referred to as the three E's. There's a report that was put out by the task force that the federal law formed in 2006. They actually describe five E's. They are engineering, education, enforcement, encouragement, and evaluation. So our findings overall were that as of January 1st of 07, there were 10 states that had implemented a formal Safe Routes to School program law. 33 states had other safe routes to school related provisions, so not a formal law. And these data are not mutually exclusive because there were 9 states that had both a formal program law and had implemented some law that was also likely to impact a student's ability to walk or bicycle to school. This is a map showing you the distribution geographically of the Safe Routes to School program laws and related provisions. So the states in white are the states where there was no Safe Routes to School program law enacted and no Safe Routes to School related law. There were 17 such states. Colorado, which is the one state in pink, has only a Safe Routes to School program law. And the states in orange, 24 of them, had other Safe Routes to School related laws only, but not a formal program law. It's green. Oh my gosh, on my screen it's orange. That's really bizarre. Okay, well it's green on your, that's really weird. Really, come up and look, it's orange. Okay, and then, is it blue up there, I hope? Okay, yeah. And the states in blue had both a Safe Routes to School program law and an other related law. There were 9 of those states. And I can tell you what they are, but I'm running out of time. Okay, so first, looking at the states that had formal Safe Routes to School program laws, what we found was that there were very consistent vetting criteria across the states. 6 of the 10 states with these formal program laws required criteria that included the program's potential to reduce injury, to encourage students to walk or bike to school, to identify hazards and barriers to doing so, to identify current and potential barriers impediments to walking to school, and also to demonstrate stakeholder involvement in the process. And those are the 6 states: California, Colorado, Delaware, Illinois, Oregon, and Texas. We also find that there was a wide variation in the method of administration, in the application process that was required, and in detail about, thank you, about application criteria and project eligibility. There was the most detail found in laws that addressed infrastructure eligibility for the projects, which is not surprising given the federal preference for infrastructure projects. 5 of the 10 states that had these formal Safe Routes to School program laws required an evaluation element. And it's also important to note that our data represent formal policy that is codified policy, so either a formal state statute or administrative regulation. There are some states that have implemented the Safe Routes to School programs informally, usually through their departments of transportation, and these are 2 examples, Wisconsin and Iowa. In many cases, these programs are great. They're very comprehensive. You know, they fulfill all of the elements that we were looking for and that our consultant recommended that we look for. There is still a preference for formal policy, though, mainly because it's harder to change formal policy. It requires the legislature to repeal a law as opposed to, just a State Department of Transportation deciding that this is no longer a priority. And also because state legislatures can customize a federal program to meet local needs. So looking at our findings about the non-program other Safe Routes to School relevant laws, there were 34 states that had any law addressing Safe Routes to School, either through a formal program law or some related Safe Routes to School law or both. So 34 states doing anything in this area. Arizona, D.C., New York, South Carolina, Texas, and Washington had the most other Safe Routes to School related laws that were non-program laws. And South Carolina and New Hampshire both had an encouragement law. They were the only 2 states that established either an awareness day or some kind of required or voluntary awareness day. So looking at these other laws, there were 11 states that required identification of hazardous routes to school, 8 required, and 3 encouraged. There were 8 states that required maintenance and construction of walkways to school, equally split between required and encouraged. And construction of traffic control measures, there were 6 states that addressed this, 5 required and 1 encouraged. Regarding enforcement-related laws, There were 12 states that addressed this. 9 of them required, 3 encouraged. And there were 8 states that addressed employment of crossing guards. Again, split 4-4 for required and encouraged. And I'm out of time, but I'm going to go really fast through this. Education, there were 13 states that addressed pedestrian or bicycle safety education for school children, and 7 states that addressed education for the public in general. So this is a very busy slide, but the purpose of this is to show you that a majority of states with non-formal safe routes to school policy approaches do not have a formal program. So these are just, these are the other relevant laws listed that we looked at and whether they had a formal safe routes to school program over on the left. So in conclusion, we found wide variation in safe routes to school policy approaches. And again, the states that did have a formal safe routes to school program law had fewer safe routes to school policy alternative approaches. And states that did not have safe routes to school program laws tended to employ a greater variety of policy approaches that were non-program. It's important to note, too, that our consultant identified important factors that were very rarely found or not found at all in the state laws that we examined. One of those was plan submission as part of the applications, whereas the program had to actually put forth what their plan was during the application process. There was one state that required this, so it was Delaware, and one state that encouraged. Two states included provisions for additional state money to supplement the federal funds for safe routes to school projects. That was South Carolina and Texas. Another element was efforts to alleviate the reimbursable nature of the federal program. The way the federal program works is the state puts forth the money, and then the federal law will reimburse for any expenditures related to safe routes to school. That was found to be a barrier by our consultant, because if the state does not have the money to front in the first place, then it can be a barrier to actual implementation. There were no states that addressed this barrier in their law. No long-term funding or support, which we defined as more than or equal to 10 years, and no pre- or post-application education about what a safe routes to school program should look like. And also, there was no provision for support for a consultant. So just really quickly, as next steps, we were looking at laws effective as of January 1st of 05 and then 06, so coding for both of those years, so that we can describe the evolution of safe routes to school and other related laws since the passage of the federal law, and also to compare results to state obesity rates and other state childhood obesity prevention policies. These are just some resources for you online, and contact information if you have any questions. Thank you, and I'm sorry for talking so fast to get through it.